O'Brien on play calling with Deshaun Watson. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Clint. Here's O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. First, O'Brien on saying that he will not call a play that Deshaun doesn't like.
You're never going to call a play with your quarterback that he doesn't like. No, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, he'll always give me the reasons of why he doesn't. He's a very smart guy. Like, he sees the game very well, and he's able to articulate, you know, why. Now, usually, to be, you know, full disclosure, he loves every play. You know, there's not many plays that he doesn't like, but if he doesn't like a play, he'll make sure that I know, and then, you know, we'll take that play out.
Here's Deshaun Watson on the communication between O'Brien and himself.
If I'm not, you know, comfortable with something, or if it didn't look well throughout the week, you know, we might put it on the back burner of, you know, running this play, or we take it out. Or if I want a certain guy running this certain route, you know, in this situation on down the distance, or if I want it, you know, on the right hash or left hash, we have all those conversations. We very, very detailed in the game plan. So, you know, once we get out, you know, there on Sunday, you know, we're comfortable with it, and we can go out there and execute.
Is Bill O'Brien's sort of assessment of their relationship, where like, hey, we're not going to call anything he's uncomfortable with, and it sounds like Deshaun has a lot of input. Is that normal for head coach and quarterback relationships throughout the league, or do you reach a special type of quarterback where it's really, truly this next level of collaborative between the two?
Well, I think it happens, but I think in some places it's a real struggle. You know, if the chemistry between the play caller, the head coach, if he's not the play caller and the quarterback isn't where it needs to be, then I think it's a struggle because those guys want to run certain plays and want to, for instance, sometimes guys, as soon as they cross the 40 going in, they want to take a shot. Well, if the shot that they want to take versus that coverage in the front and everything that you got these two shots you can take, if the quarterback's not comfortable with those shots, then, coach, you can't take those shots,
yeah.
You know? And I think there's just a lot of egos, a lot of hard-headedness that goes into that, and so it's a real struggle with a lot of teams. And when you capture that chemistry in a bottle between a play caller and a quarterback, it's special. And I mean, you got to have a very few quarterbacks understand it, and are I think cerebrally. There you go, that word right there. I think there's not very many guys like Deshaun Watson that are at the level he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that, you know, so it's there's just not very many guys, period, that can do that. So it's a unique chemistry between these two that's coming together, and it's coming together at the right time. And truth be told, I mean, early in his career, I mean, six games last year. How many are we now?
Six. Well, now we're
12
like,
in. 13
yeah,
in?
We're 12 in this 12 year in. And six so starts last. 18
less than,
starts.
Yeah, less than 20 starts, and this guy's
right.
Got me trying to. He's butchering the word cerebral.
Work in progress for sure, but the trending in the right direction. I'm impressed with O'Brien's. I feel like improvement in play calling, and when I say improvement, I'm talking about. Calling plays that have the best chance to succeed given what Deshaun Watson can do for you. Because I feel like the challenge is knowing when to call for a 3 or 5 step drop instead of a running play, instead of a read option, instead of a play action fake, you know, because those clearly, we know, are the plays that put him at the most risk. So you got to really make sure you don't call those plays at the wrong time. And I feel like they've gotten better at that.
Well, I tell you, Rich, I think a big part of the chemistry is when he does call them. A big part of a quarterback's job is making a play caller right. I mean, at the end of the day, is if he calls that shot, if I'm the quarterback, another take on the shot, you know, on the shot taking aspect of things. If we want to take a shot when we cross the 40 and coach calls that shot and that shot is best ran, are most effective versus a middle of the field closed coverage, which means there's a safety right dead in the middle of the field over the quarterback's head. If that's what you want and you come to the line of scrimmage and you get a cover two, you get the middle of the field open, two safeties deep, you can't say the hell with it. I'm going to take the shot anyway, see if I can throw me a touchdown. You got to put it back in your back pocket. You got to check to a run and save it for another down. And so it's as much on the quarterback to make the play caller right, make the situation right. Preserve plays, your shots, your misdirections. Don't just spit in the wind. I would imagine we don't know it because we're not inside the locker room. But I would imagine if you, as you like to say, Sean, if you give O'Brien some truth serum,
yeah,
I would think that it's just as much related to Deshaun making him right as it is him learning Deshaun.
Well, O'Brien's still working around more flaws on that offense, and I think some of the other play callers, certainly of the teams that they're going to be facing down the road in the postseason in all likelihood,
yeah.
teams, and a lot of that has to do with those teams have franchise quarterbacks, but they've got better window dressing at the skill positions and on the offensive yeah. line than the Texans do. So as we sit here and grade O'Brien as a play caller, you grade these other guys as play callers like Sean McVay and Andy Reid and other guys like that, and they get graded on being able to take these offenses and have these high-octane 38 points a game, you know, these explosive plays down the field. I don't know that O'Brien, especially with Will Fuller now injured, but certainly with the offensive line just not being a very talented offensive line, I think they're starting to get the most that you can get out of that offensive line. They're going to make upgrades to it this offseason, there's no doubt. But I feel like at least for now, you're never going to grade O'Brien's play calling in terms of what the overall output of the offense is. To your point, Rich, you're going to grade O'Brien's play calling based on, A, doing the most with what you have, but, B, protecting two things, the football and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Like, those are the biggest things
Absolutely.
Right now for this football
and,
team.
And they're doing a good job with both, although I'd like to see the sack numbers still come down a little bit more. But as we've discussed, that's not entirely on the play calling or the offensive line play. That also involves Deshaun Watson decision-making. On the DWIattorney.com text page, you're going to like this, Clint. Who is on with you guys right now with the southern accent? Really like his input.
Yeah, appreciate it. How do you spell?
That sounds like somebody who would listen to you read out of the phone book and they'd be like, that guy's amazing. I can't wait till he gets to the B's.
That's Clint Sterner, former Arkansas and Dallas Cowboys quarterback,
yep.
and now a regular on the Triple Threat.
Every Thursday. And if you really want the heavy dosage of Clint Sterner, listen about 2 hours from now. He'll be breaking it all down in Stern Talk.
Hey, you know, Sean, one thing that you guys were mentioning, and I'm sitting over trying to wrap my head around it, is all these teams in the league, they have, and don't take this the wrong way, because I don't believe that there's 10 Hopkins running around out there, but they have receivers that can make plays.
Yeah.
They got quarterbacks that can make throws. And some teams may or may not have all the pieces. But ultimately, the team, and I have no idea about stats, so somebody may want to look it up and check it, but I'm willing to walk out on a limb and say that all those teams, Kansas City, New Orleans, the Rams, we talk about the quarterback and the running back and the receivers and Sean Payton, the play callers and all that. What makes these teams go is a pretty good defense, good offensive line play, good run game, staying out of bad situations. You know, those are the things that make a team elite. Now, you can win a few football games. We talked about it earlier. Winning some games early in the season for the Texans had a lot to do with just being more talented in key positions than maybe their opponent was, or making plays in a timely fashion. The teams that win consistently don't put themselves in bad situations. They allow themselves to be in second and one where they can take a shot instead of second and 12 where you got to pick up seven.
Yep.
You know, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they create those opportunities more times than not during a game.
Football,
and that's just what it's all about.
Football Outsiders, which is a website I love to go to for stuff like this with their DVOA, because it takes context into account, whether it's efficiency ratings for offense, defense, special teams. They have ratings for the offensive line, which are adjusted line, you know, adjusted yards per play type stuff, success in power formations, how many times the offensive line gets stuffed on run plays, how many times we're able to get to the second level thing. You throw it into the big hopper and it spits out a bunch of numbers to tell you who, by their grading system, are the best offensive lines. And I don't think it's a huge surprise. Clint, you just rattled off. The Rams are number one. The Saints are number two. The Patriots are number three. Denver Broncos are number four, actually, which kind of stands to reason over the last month or so since
yep.
that Texans game, because Case Keenum's not turning the ball over, he's not getting sacked, and Philip Lindsay has turned into one of the best, most productive running backs in football. Green Bay is fifth. Indianapolis is sixth. The Chargers are seventh. So there are your top seven. You know, four of those seven teams are among the top seven or eight in the power rankings, and all seven of those teams, other than maybe Denver, where Case is just a guy, you're talking about six of the top eight or nine perceived quarterbacks in the league.
Right.
The Texans, meanwhile, are 20th, which if you had told me after week three of the season if they can improve to the 20th best offensive line in football, I would have signed on the dotted line
sure.
right after the Giants
game.
In a heartbeat. So they're 20th right now, so they're getting better. Right behind Kansas City, who's 19th. That is one team whose offensive line, maybe according to this metric, doesn't necessarily match up with the elite level to which they're producing points. However, I think with Mahomes, Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, They have three of the most dynamic playmakers at each of those three positions in the entire league.
There's no question about it. Even out of those top three, the Rams, the Saints, and the Chiefs, I probably said it a little prematurely, but I'm still stand by it. I think the Chiefs are the team that falls off. Now, I'm not saying that based – I didn't know the stats you just spit out there.
Sure, you've said that before.
I just think the
– Is that a Kareem Hunt thing?
No, it's the defensive struggles. And then when you watch them play, it is just a risky style of ball, man. And it's just – and you couple that risky style. And look, I mean, New Orleans plays a risky style relative to they are a vertical passing attack. Breeze is going to hold that football more times than not and let guys get downfield, let routes develop, and hit the open receiver. And you got to have that time. Now, Sean Payton's ability to adjust and Drew Breeze' understanding of situations and stuff like that allows him to get by with it. But you think Mahomes is young and inexperienced. I know he's uber talented, but he's young and inexperienced. They don't play very good defense, so every mistake he makes is magnified times 10. I just think that's a recipe for falling out of the top in the league. I mean, they're obviously going to be talented and make a lot of noise, but when it comes down to it, I think if anybody's going to fall out of that top three, that top five team in the league, I think Kansas City is the one that might make the fall.
It is rare that a team that poor defensively makes deep runs into the postseason. Yeah. And when they get to the Super Bowl, the stats tell you that they get destroyed. You know, the better defensive team usually gets the better of the offensive team. As long as the defensive team is that I'm talking about plays at a very, very high level.
Sure,
who knows?
So the Rams like the college football playoffs.
Yeah, the Rams don't play defense at a high level. That may be good enough still for them to get to the Super Bowl. And if they get to the Super Bowl and the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, we may see a game that looks a lot like the one we saw between those two on Monday night a few weeks ago.
But the Rams, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know everything about the Rams, but don't they have a couple of DBs out?
Aqib Talib has missed most of the season. Yeah. I think they expect to get him back, though.
Peters is playing, though, right?
Peters has been playing. They don't rush the passer all that well. That's why they traded for Dante Fowler from Jacksonville.
Isn't that crazy? They got Fowler, Sue, Donald,
the Brockers. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't Donald leads the league and he's at 22 and a half sacks or 16 and a half? He's at 16 and a half and 22 and a half is Strahan's record.
Yeah, I guess I should say
is Strahan's record. I got one of those.
You do?
I got one of those.
You
brother.
Didn't lay down hey, for
did
him
you,
like
did
Brett,
you lay down like Brett Favre
like
did?
Like Favre?
No, I may have laid down because I was running out of fear. I didn't lay down because I was trying to get somebody a sack. I mean, I made the Hall of Fame, man. When he went to the Hall of Fame, one of the action shots, he was fixing to annihilate me back in the day.
No kidding.
Unbelievable. I finally made
Strahan.
The Hall of Fame.
Nothing
I tweeted
wrong with that.
About it. I said, Strahan, appreciate it, brother. Made the Hall of Fame,
amen.
Man.
By the way, I mentioned Arkansas and the Dallas Cowboys. How could I leave out a Baytown Lee Gander?
Yeah, come on, man. Get it
I'm
right,
sorry.
Will you? Flying Ganders, baby. Air Baytown. Yeah. Get it right, will you?
How could you possibly leave out an opportunity to show off your mascot
blew it.
Knowledge?
Totally blew it.
Oh, man.
All right.